The 22nd Psalm is the Psalm of the Cross. The Lord Jesus Christ quoted the first verse as one of his last public utterances that have been recorded for us. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And what an appropriate prayer it was whenever the Lord's on the cross. You just know it's him. He's encompassed by all these enemies. His hands and feet are pierced. His strength is dried up. His tongue cleaves to his jaws. He's athirst and he's in agony. He tells all his bones, they stir and look at him. They part his garments. It's all here. This is Christ on the cross. But the psalm has two divisions. At verse 21, there's the suffering, there's the agony, the requests, save me from the lion's mouth, death's near, the king of death, Satan, is near. And then there's a note of victory. Thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. And now faith arises. And he begins to declare the promises of God, the hope of the resurrection, the hope of being in the midst of his people, declaring the glory of his Father, communing and fellowshipping with them. And that's what you have in verse 22 onwards. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. He's dying. He's about to breathe his last. And yes, this is what he says. I'll declare your name unto my brethren. I'll praise you in the midst of the church. He foresees the resurrection and the glory. He sees it on the cross. Who for the joy that was before him endured the cross and despised the shame. He didn't die in a spirit of defeat. He died in the spirit of triumphant victory and hope. It is a verse 26 that I leave with you. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. There are four things here. There's the host, the Savior himself on the cross. There are the guests at the feast, the meek. There's the meal, shall eat, and there's the satisfaction, shall be satisfied. We think of these words around the table. He's on the cross. He's about to soon say, it is finished, and dismiss his spirit. And as he does so, he says, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. And that's us tonight. That's being fulfilled tonight, as it is at every time at the Lord's table. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. He saw it. He ordained it. So the Lord on the cross has promised a provision. He's promised a feast. He's promised the nourishment that gives the life eternal. The Savior himself has set the table. The Savior himself has said, this do in remembrance of me. He's laid the table. So the Savior is the one who is the host and who has provided the meal. Notice the description of the guests. They are the meek. Not the proud, not the arrogant, not the unkind, but just the humble. Sometimes the word is translated weak. They're just weak. They're feeble. But not just physically feeble. In their hearts, they're meek. You see, the gospel makes us to come to the feet of Jesus Christ. You can't be saved unless you come as a little child, you know. We have to come humbly to Christ. And everyone who comes to Christ has been made meek through grace. And his people are the meek. He himself is meek and lowly in heart. And he wants his people to be like that. And this is a description of what Christians should be. The Romans didn't like this word meek. It's a word of weakness. But Christ was meek. He dies on the cross in weakness. And so the people of God are humble, or ought to be humble. And they're appreciative of his grace and his salvation. So his people are described here in very many ways. It's a study in itself to see how they're described. He calls them his brethren in verse 22. He calls them those that fear the Lord in verse 23. He calls them the seed of Jacob and the seed of Israel in verse 23 as well. He calls them the afflicted in verse 24. He calls them the congregation, the assembly, because he never views them as individuals, but as together, the congregation, the assembly, and those that fear him. And then the meek. But notice that they eat. The meek shall eat. And what does the Lord think about when he says that on the cross? Well, you remember how he says, except you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Christ is our feast. Christ is our meat and drink. Christ is the bread of life that we have to eat and consume by faith, participating in his body and blood, in our union to him by faith. They shall eat. So he provides himself the provision. He provides himself as the means of eternal life, the nourishment of our souls unto eternal life. The gospel feast, as it's so often put in the parables. All things are now ready. The sacrifice has been made. Everything's ready. Come now and eat and partake. And so the gospel feast is Christ. He is our eternal life. And that was set forth here as we commune with the symbols. By faith we have fellowship and communion with the body and blood of Christ. By faith, even as we do without the supper, we have communion with Christ in his body and blood. And so there is this feast then, this meeting. And then it says that they are satisfied. Aren't we satisfied with Christ? Would you change him for anything? We love him. He satisfies our souls. He meets our needs. He's altogether lovely. The fellowship with him is sweet. He's wonderful. We're satisfied with the gospel. We're satisfied with our Savior. We're satisfied with all that he has for us in the Word and in his church. We're satisfied with the table. We don't need anything else. We don't need to bring in other things to get satisfaction. No, the simplicity of the congregation. We're satisfied with the table. We're satisfied with Christ, with the presence of our Lord, just sitting around his feet and worshiping him. We're satisfied with the simplicity of it, brethren and sisters. At least I hope we are. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. You see, he's thinking of the eternal life of his people. A heart that is eternal. A heart that will never die unto the ages of ages. Eternal life, Jesus calls it in the gospel. This we have in Christ. Whosoever believeth on him hath life eternal. And so this feast assures us of that, and it comforts us.